Welcome back to the Rewind That Tape podcast. I'm Jay Probs.
And I'm Dr. Cash.
And we're back here, a little Christmas episodia for you. We're going to take a look back at the week. Some pretty notable things that have been happening. And starting off, I feel like the biggest story in sports right now, possibly, but for the wrong reasons. The Detroit Pistons have broken the NBA NBA record for most losses in a row at 27 games. Right now, as we're recording this, they're looking at losing another one against the Celtics. I mean, they were up, 15-20, and now it's a tied game. JT going off. But Cash, what's wrong? Is it the coach? Is it the players? I mean, I know Cade Cunningham has been popping off, but other than that, like, can you give us a little bit of your thoughts before we dive in?
This team, I mean, on paper, they obviously don't look as bad as that record shows, but they kind of do. At a first glance, you see Cade, you see Jalen Duren, Ivy,
and I mean, it's been balling.
Yeah, I mean, and it seems like a pretty promising group, and they are. But when those starters get off the floor, I mean, it's just a complete, you know, like they have no ability to score and they have no defense. I mean, turn to that bench and you have James Wiseman, Kevin Knox, Killian Hayes. Like, it's just all these guys that were lottery picks, top 10 picks, and just complete busts.
Exactly. I think when you're giving Killian Hayes 26 minutes and he's giving you 9 points and 4 assists, I mean, you can't be giving someone 30 minutes consistently for that kind of production. You have to look elsewhere. And I think what you're saying is absolutely right, because once Cade is off the floor, that's pretty much it. Once Cade is off the floor, it's bad news bears for this team. You can only do so much with Jaden Ivey. I mean, Bojan Bogdanovic has been playing solid, but like, it's just not enough to win in the NBA, as we're seeing. I think obviously there's some luck issues there. They've maybe not had some calls go their way, some baskets, but I mean, in the end of the day, they've lost 27 straight, and it's not just luck at that point. There's something wrong with the team, something wrong with the coaches, the players. If you look at it, it's probably a factor of both of those. And I mean, to be honest with you, I don't really know what to do to fix it. You kind of have to ride it out at this point, see what happens. Because you're looking at this team and you're like, Cade, for sure, he's your franchise centerpiece. But outside of that, do you move forward with Killian Hayes? Do you move forward with Jaden Ivey? Keep Bojan Bogdanovic? I mean, there's some real pieces here that you invested lottery talent in Killian Hayes. And right now it's looking questionable whether or not they fit the team, whether or not they're winning players, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and I think definitely looking at Killian Hayes and James Wiseman are the two that stand out to me. Like, they just bring no benefit to this team. They're supposed to, you know, Hayes obviously be a playmaker, mm-hmm. And Wiseman be really good, like, threat on offense in the paint, be that big guy, and he's just been the complete opposite of that. Now, looking at Jaden Ivey, I think it's a different story. I just don't think he's getting an opportunity here. Monty Williams has just been having him start on the bench, so it hasn't been fair to him. But and then you look at today, he gets the start against Boston, where he has 17-10. I mean, on 50% shooting. I think, you know, if he's able to get integrated into this starting lineup, it would work out for him, and you know, he could be there and make some good money long term.
Exactly, and I think that flows perfectly into one of the biggest points I feel like a lot of people have been taking from this losing streak, is that Monty Williams may not have been worth one of the highest paid contracts in the league, fully guaranteed. I mean, he obviously got fired from Phoenix for a reason. And when he got hired by Detroit, everyone was like, this is a great move, being a good coach to help, grow a young team, and it just has not worked. I think he's, like we said, he's giving too many minutes, too many opportunities to these players who have not proved themselves, not just for this season, but multiple seasons before. And that's taking away significant minutes from the likes of Jaden Ivey, Assur Thompson, guys that maybe you don't know. You don't know if they have the potential yet, or you don't know what you have in them yet. You want to see, you want to develop them. And by playing Killian Hayes 26 minutes, by playing James Wiseman 15 minutes, you're taking away that that time. You're taking away that developmental time, which I think is I think is probably the biggest problem. But yeah, it's just a mess right now. If you're a Pistons fan, I mean, you haven't won since what?
Like October.
Late October. Like, that's crazy. Like that is, and we're about to finish December. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know.
I think it's honestly from the top down, from that front office making very poor signings. I think Bogdanovich is probably the only good one. Other than that, I mean, the Wiseman trade, terrible. Trading away Sadiq Bey. Getting
your glue guys.
Exactly. And then RJ Hampton made no sense to me. I think these guys are just trying to revitalize careers, and Detroit's just not in the position to be able to do that. I get these guys are young, but
There's only so many flyers you can take until you have a team of just like
complete bust
developmental. Yeah, you can't have, like, as a Rockets fan going through tanking for the last like 3 years, you kind of see what you want to see, but like, you at some point you need to start winning, right? At some point you got to say, we have our 3-4 foundational pieces, now let's build off of them. And I think you have them. I think you take Jalen Duren, Jaden Ivey, Cade Cunningham, Assur Thompson, and you have some other good young pieces. Isaiah Stewart. And you run with them. You bring vets in and you build around them. And I just, man, I don't understand how you can still be playing Killian Hayes. That's like the one thing that's mind boggling for me. He started 21 games. Like, come on, man. Like, Monty Williams has got to do better. And I mean, like you said, the front office too, they have to provide better options. They have to say, this is where we're trying to go. Here are the vets. We're going to sign some big money vets. And I know it might seem a little biased, but I'm going to look towards the Rockets. I mean, and the Thunder. Like, you have these pieces, and then you go sign a Fred VanVleet for big money. You go sign a Dylan Brooks for big money. And in the case of the Thunder, you have an established star in Shea. And so you bring these lottery picks that you had around, build around him. So I don't know. I feel like the Pistons are approaching this from entirely the wrong direction. I think now is the time to stop tanking. But it seems like they're just going to continue tanking, which, yeah, I don't know. Hopefully they figure out, hopefully Cade doesn't waste 3, 4, 5 years of his career on a 2-28 team.
Yeah, I think, and the tough part is, I mean, what this team lacks obviously is veterans that have, you know, playoff experience. Obviously, they have Bogdanovich, but outside of that, there's no real veteran, and I think,
and there's no like alpha veteran. There's no, hey, this guy can go play 30 and give me 20, 25, 30 points on a nightly basis. Because as much as you want to say it, Bogdanovich is a role player, he's not a star player, star veteran who you can add, who can lead the team. So, yeah, I think that's something that they have to invest in.
Yeah, and kind of alluding to that, I think just the reputation of this organization, especially now, why would a veteran want to sign there? I think maybe the only veteran, you know, is maybe one that's won a championship, has nothing left to prove, and the Pistons just massively overpay.
Yeah, that's the thing. When you're in that kind of situation, you have to overpay. You have to throw the bag at them, because to be honest with you, that's the only reason that anyone's coming to a tanking team that has little to no other interests or value. as a free agent or trade target.
Yeah, it's just a really tough situation to be in. And, you know, I don't know where they go from here, but, you know, right now it's a tie game with four seconds left.
Yeah, and as I said that piece about Bogdanovich, Bogey not being a star player, he goes and makes the game tying layup. But moving on to some other tough situations, the NFL playoff picture. And I mean, it's a mess just looking up to down. And I mean, this is not the Detroit Pistons kind of mess. This is the week in, week out fun football kind of mess. I mean, coming off that 49ers Ravens game, seems like we finally got a team that has established themselves as the best team in this league. The Ravens manhandling the 49ers. I mean, Purdy getting exposed. And sure, a few of the picks might have been fluky, but still, it was a really good game from the Ravens, and they kind of established themselves. I mean, best record in the NFL, probably the best win in the NFL, to be honest. And now if we're looking down at the AFC, I mean, in particular, only two teams has clinched a spot, the Ravens and the Dolphins. And if you're looking at the spots, I mean, the Chiefs could, in theory, fall to 9-7 with the way that they've been playing. They could lose the Bengals. For sure. And I mean, sure, it drops their probability of making the playoffs to 85%, but still, there's, after that, the Jaguars, Browns, Bills, Colts, all if they lose, I mean, their probability that they make the playoffs is less than 50%. I mean, it's a tight race right now with these teams.
Yeah, and if I stay in credit, I think that Vegas kind of has or still has a chance to win the AFC West. Mm-hmm. Obviously, yeah. If KC loses to Cincinnati, Vegas beats Indy on Sunday, and then that they both play each other.
Yeah,
in the final week. So mm-hmm. I think,
and they already beat them once.
Yeah, and the pressure's on KC. So honestly, they're definitely not a guarantee this year, having a lack of talent at that receiver position. And I honestly don't see them being that big of a playoff threat, especially without having that home field advantage that Mahomes has had his entire career.
Yeah, exactly. I think just going in on this Chiefs situation, kind of, I think you're kind of seeing a lack of investment really in the wide receiver position. Ever since they gave up Tyreek Hill, you kind of see this team piecing together free agents and then relying pretty much on Kelce and Patrick Mahomes to win you the division when you playoff games. But it's come back to bite them in a really bad way, I think. I think they're just getting to this point where we've seen it. Kadarius Toney cannot catch a ball for his life. Travis Kelce is, I mean, I don't know what we're expecting him from him. I think he's nearing the end. He's 34 years old. He's nearing the end of his career. I mean, there's only so long a 34-year-old number one option tight end can be the best tight end in the league. And I think we've gotten to a point where he's not. I think you look around the league and there are better tight ends. Sam LaPorta definitely making his name known. But yeah, I think that's a really massive thing. Travis Kelce kind of declining, and then you have no real other option around him. You have Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, Rashee Rice, who has been playing really well, but like, it's not enough. Patrick Mahomes needs 2-3 options, because if you just have Kelce, teams can key in on that, and they are. They're pressuring Mahomes, and he's just, offensive line isn't as good as it used to be. It's all kind of falling apart around him, and we're seeing the result of that with a 9-6 record.
Yeah, it's kind of similar. I mean, I'm not going to say entirely similar, but just kind of how these poor organizations are ran in the NBA, looking at like we talked about the Pistons and Wizards, obviously, when you have a player like Mahomes, you're never going to be that bad. But this front office just completely didn't add any talent in the offseason. They rolled with Kadarius Toney, MVS, and thought that was enough. And it's nowhere near enough, even for a quarterback with an arm with talent like Mahomes. So I think that when this season ends for them, whether that be I don't think they get past the divisional round, honestly. So when this season,
I agree with you.
They're just not a threat that they have been for the last 4 years. So, you know, when the season ends, they're gonna have to look at either trading or paying big money to a receiver. And I don't think this market's too bad, honestly. They look at a T. Higgins, Mike Evans, you know. So there's plenty of talent. We just have to see how urgent this Chiefs front office is going to be.
But I feel like the thing is that the wide receiver talent is not the only hole on this team. I think you have to – obviously, you have to find a good receiver, but you also have to find offensive tackle, offensive lineman, and kind of supplement all the holes that are in this offense. I think the only positive and one of the only reasons that this team is still – a contender, and I feel like could still make some waves, is that you have Patrick Mahomes, obviously, and then the defense has been really playing well. I think Spags has really got this team working well. I think they're pressuring, they're playing good defense, playing good in the secondary. I think there's a lot of holes on offense that just have been left unaddressed because Patrick Mahomes can cover up mistakes, but it's kind of running out. His magic is running out. He can only fix mistakes to an extent, and we're starting to see the cracks in this juggernaut. But moving down the list, one team that I want to single out is the Buffalo Bills. All right, before we move on to any NFC talk, the Buffalo Bills have worked themselves back into playoff contention. As of right now, they sit as the sixth seed. And Cash, could you see if the Bills make it, could you see them making waves? Do you think they could push to a significant spot?
100%. I think definitely they've picked up after making changes with that coaching staff, and they've done it without, you know, Diggs having a big game, meaning even over 60 yards, he's been completely silent. I don't think it's being talked about enough just because Buffalo's been able to win. But I think that, you know, this Bills team will be one of the toughest, if not the toughest team in the AFC. I get the Ravens are there, but, you know, when this Bills offense is moving, their defense responds with that. And we saw that in the Cowboys game. They're a top three team, honestly, and they'll be a big playoff threat.
I mean, I'm going to go as far as say top three team, but I mean, that embarrassment that they put on Dallas in week 15 and then beating Kansas City week 14, going toe-to-toe with Philadelphia in week 12, I think that's kind of where you started seeing this team pick up. They started playing more offensively, and then you saw, I think the biggest change going to Joe Brady as the offensive coordinator has been the involvement of James Cook. I mean, if you're looking down this list, I mean, he's been absolutely balling. In the Dallas game, he had 179 yards on the ground. And so I think involving him more in the offense, in the passing, in the running game, both having Josh Allen perform at a all-pro level has been super important. And then the defense. Obviously, with all the injuries, they're not going to be the top five, top six dominant defense that we've seen in previous seasons. But just being average, being able to make critical stops when you need to, I think that has been the biggest thing. And it's kind of why we're seeing Buffalo go on this winning streak. And I think if they continue that, if they continue playing really balanced offense and bang average defense, I think we could see them going. I think that would put them on par with teams like the Jags, teams like the Chiefs.
Yeah, and as of right now, I believe it would be a Buffalo at Kansas City wild card matchup in Arrowhead. So that game would be a thriller. I'd have to pick Buffalo if that's what the matchup ended up being, just Arrowhead. Because I think the wide receiver, that lack of talent, like we've been saying, it's kind of starting to get noticed more and more as Kansas City starts to head down this final stretch. You know, it kind of got covered up, like you said, by Mahomes being able to make insane plays. But at the end of the day, it's just they don't have a team good enough to go far.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I think the game, the Buffalo-Kansas City game, would come close. I think you'd have to factor in Arrowhead. I think that would be a difference maker. I think Buffalo, obviously, they're going to have their chances. Kansas City is going to have their chances. I think it's going to come down to which offense can create the most explosive plays, which defense can limit the explosive plays. And so, yeah, I think it's going to be one hell of a playoff run in the AFC. I think these next 2 weeks are going to be super intense for me personally as a Texans fan. But I mean, it's just going to be so fun because at this point, you really don't know how it could pan out. We could see the Bills at the five, probably not the five, but we could see them at the six. We could see the Colts at the four, Jags at the four. We could see the Chiefs drop out of the playoff race. We could see the Chiefs in the wild card. It's absolutely crazy. But moving on to one last team in the NFC, because we can't really forget about the NFC, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. If they win Week 17 versus Saints, they have a 99% chance of getting in as the number four seed. Cash, I know you're a big Baker fan. So, I mean, how is this guy who got cut from the Browns kind of resurrected his career? Because I've been seeing the comeback player of the year around comeback player of the year award buzz around Baker for a while now. And I mean, I honestly think like he's been resurrected a little bit, right? A lot along with this team.
Yeah, 100%. I think he's kind of said that before in recent interviews that, like, you know, this was the perfect place to do that. Looking at what Tampa has on offense, obviously Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and even more recently, Rashad White, being able to integrate him into that passing game.
Yeah.
As he's been top, I'm pretty sure top three, top five in receiving yards.
Carry my fantasy team, yeah.
Yeah, for those running backs. So honestly, I think the Bucs are just getting hot at the right time. And they're getting everybody involved in offense. Obviously, they're midseason. There's issues there with Chris Godwin, but you know they're catching stride right now, and the defense is starting to pick it up. You know, Todd Bowles, being that defensive minded head coach, has his guys playing well. I think forcing three turnovers on Trevor Lawrence this past Sunday. So I honestly think if they win this Sunday, end up getting that number four spot, clinching the wild card, they're going to be a pretty tough team to play that many people have not started to, you know, pay attention to.
Yeah, and I think if you're looking at this situation overall, I think this is a perfect situation for Baker, an opportunity to show why he was the number one pick. Kind of because Tampa has all the entire setup. They have a good defense. They have two premier wide receivers. Rashad White is really broken out. They have a solid offensive line. Kind of those remnants from the Tom Brady era. But yeah, I think that Tampa is, if Baker was going to pop off, if he was going to really play good starting quarterback, I mean, you'd have to say this is playoff caliber quarterback play right here. I mean, he could win one or two playoff games, theoretically, looking at how he's playing. And I mean, I could see that happening. Obviously, the team's been up and down, so you don't know which kind of Tampa Bay you're going to get. But if they play well like they have been for the past 4 weeks, I think that Jacksonville game was a real exclamation point. And I mean, looking at their schedule, it's New Orleans, Carolina. I think they could win out, have a 10-win season. And really, I think that's a success for both teams. Because if you're Tampa, you've kind of found your quarterback of the future. You can build around Baker, in my opinion, because he's not a game changer. But he can, if you put the talent around him, he can elevate the talent. And if the talent's good enough, he can go win with that talent. I think that's the biggest thing. I could see him really fitting into a mold like how the Lions are playing right now.
Yeah, and kind of how you alluded to what this possibly could be for Tampa come playoff time. Like, you know, we mentioned they're catching stride right now, but yeah. I also think when we're looking at their potential opponents, obviously Dallas, Philadelphia, those two teams aren't really in the greatest form right now.
Yeah.
Looking at Philly, obviously losing to they barely beat the Giants, right? They lost to Seattle Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Cowboys losing two straight here to Buffalo and Miami. So I feel like come wild card time, when it's the playoff game will be in Tampa, it's going to be a pretty overlooked matchup, in my opinion, but one where Tampa could shock the world.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely have the surprise factor with them. I think we could see that. I think they could surprise, like you said, either team. It's going to be hard for sure, but I think the way that they're playing, if the defense can just play, I mean, I feel like I'm saying this same thing with the Bills, but like if the defense, well, not really, because the Tampa defense, if they can play average, a little bit above average, I could see Baker getting those game-winning opportunities, that game-winning drive, game-winning touchdown. That, I feel like that's a possibility, something that he can do. And yeah, I think that's the success of this team, gritting it out, because you're not going to be able to keep up with the Cowboys or the Eagles possibly offense. And so playing good defense, gritting it out, and then in that fourth quarter kind of making those game-winning plays, I think we could see Tampa definitely keeping it close in those games and possibly, you know, pulling it out, which I think is still unlikely, as much praise as we give in Tampa. I think the defense isn't as good as it has been, but I think it's still possible. It's still possible.
Yeah, and as we've known these past couple of years, I mean, anything really is possible in the NFL playoffs. Take a look at that Jacksonville matchup last year. That was the 4-5 game.
Yeah.
Chargers blowing that 27-point lead. So, mm-hmm. like I said, I mean, it's just a tale of Tampa finding their rhythm at the right time, and, you know, teams like Dallas and Philly who are kind of losing that momentum they had earlier in the season. So we're going to see how these coaches prepare for it, because there are two coaches that have won Super Bowls in McCarthy and Todd Bowles didn't win as a head coach, but, you know, they've been there. They've been deep in the playoffs. Same with Nick Sirianni. So we'll see how these two teams, potentially, whether that's Philly or Dallas, prepare for what's going to be a pretty tough challenge in Tampa.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's setting up the stage for not only this next 2 weeks, but I think for a really exciting playoff time. Arguably one of the more exciting ones that we've had in a while. But that is all for us. From Cash, from Prubs, we wish you a very happy Christmas and a very happy New Year's. Thank you all so much for listening. Make sure to check out our YouTube channel at Rewind That Tape on YouTube. We've been posting weekly. I wouldn't say weekly, but bi-weekly. And yeah, we have some really good content out there. Hopefully y'all can check it out. Yeah, thank y'all again so much for watching. Peace.